Welcome to Tell Me About It on WUFT 89.1 and 90.1. I'm Sue Wagner, here today with Franziska Raber. She is the Director of Development for the Humane Society of North Central Florida. And the Humane Society serves the community all times of year. They've got a lot of great special events. But I don't think some people know to the extent of all the things that you offer. So can you share a little bit about how you got involved and what you guys, we know what you do, but just for those that don't.
I think many people don't know quite what we do, how complex things are actually happening on our small little property. And I like to elaborate on that. So our mission is to eliminate the needless euthanasia of adoptable pets here in North Central Florida. And all our activities are centered around that. One is obviously finding homes. And that's where we are best known, and that's a lot of our events are driven around that, finding homes for our pets. But we also have on-site a low-cost vaccine and wellness clinic, which we offer.
Oh, I didn't know you did that.
See?
Yeah.
The veterinarian service, it's not designed to be for complex issues, so it's really designed for wellness and vaccines. They are very affordable, so it's low cost. It's not free, low cost to our public. So that the main goal is to keep animals with their homes, not just finding homes, but with their homes. We also have a large spay and neuter program. We want to avoid creating more litters, more homeless pets. We want to avoid that, so we offer that to our owned pets. So if you have a pet that comes to you without being spayed and neutered, check us out. The prices are very affordable because they are designed to make it accessible. And so we avoid having future homeless pets. Also not quite known is we have a pet food pantry, which is accessible to anybody, no questions asked. You can come in and we will give out like 1 gallon bags of dog or cat food on one bag per day per person. So again, with the goal to keep animals with their families.
That's great. And it's a, let's stress this, it's a no-kill shelter. Is that correct?
It is a no-kill shelter. And I would always like to elaborate a little bit on that word no-kill, because it has been around and it's been used, that word, and it's very, I always say, it's very marketable term. We do not euthanize for space. That is around that. The definition of no-kill is 90% live release, which we definitely meet well and comfortably. But there is cases of euthanasia where it's for medical reasons. I mean, during kitten season, we may have a little bit more euthanasia just because they do not thrive. We also, and this is a hot topic, and I like to be honest about it, is sometimes animals are not safe for release to the public, like dogs. There is,
could be rabies or something.
Rabies, but also behavioral. They're not safe because they have a bite history, or they show, that their behavior declines over extended time in a kennel environment. We are facing challenges of medium to large dogs, and this is a nationwide challenge that we have, that all kennels are full of medium to large dogs, with adoption rates dropping 9% over the last year for these animals. And they are often stuck in our kennels for a long time. And being medium or large in a small kennel is not good for mental health of our animals. So we do see those unfortunate cases where we do. They are very rare.
I must say. It's true of everywhere, though, right?
It is. This is very rare, but I like to be very clear because I think it's a topic that has not been mentioned to us. But our main goal is to find homes for all pets, and that is, we do find, everybody finds home. We have the longest pet that we recently had was a bonded pair. He was with us for almost over 4 years.
Oh my.
A very challenging case because he was hit by a car and he lost the function of his, bodily fluids. So, but he was really great, and eventually he found a friend at our facility, and the two became a bonded pair.
And then started thriving, I'm sure.
Started thriving, and eventually a wonderful couple came along and adopted them together. So it, no matter how long it takes, we will find somebody.
That's great. And I know that you also have fostering available as well. And we often get the call here, like a storm is coming. We need people to come and take these pets home and give them a safe environment, not forever, but just until the storm passes or until someone, or a lot of times it's foster fail is what I keep hearing. Oh, well, I guess they're going to stay. So
foster fail is one option, but let's be very honest, why we can be successful as a human society here in Gainesville is thanks to our student body that may miss their pets at home and are willing to step up and foster and allow us to do the work
we
do.
Yeah, for the companionship, yes.
Exactly. And it's not just companionship. I want to stress what fosters do. They are 60 to 70% of any time in our shelters are the animals are in foster care. So that's the majority of our animals are in foster care. A dog that is in foster care gets enrichment, learns how to behave in a house, learns the manners, they get interactions that while we try everything at a shelter to give them that, the enriching of a home is just better. We have medical, just, you know, the eye drops and the dewormers and all the things that cats need just to thrive. Taking on that role as a foster is amazing during kitten season.
But you provide the medications provide the food, so that's not a cost to the foster family.
Literally, we have a foster lobby with food, litter, toys, beds, anything you need, we have it, and we provide all the medical care and spay and neuter everything up to adoption. So you literally provide the home.
So you have a lot of fosters, but okay, there's certain breaks during the year when the students are off or, you know, the end of the semester. Do they bring the pets back and then you have another demand during the holidays to take care
right
of
now
them?
We're seeing Thanksgiving coming up.
Thanksgiving, Christmas, I would think, and any of and summer too.
Summer. So, and then some of our events, like larger adoption events, are centered around these.
I see.
So that's a little bit. So like the Home for the Holidays, which is in December, is a larger big adoption event we have in preparation a little bit to lower our lower our animals that we have in shelter so that we can go through the holidays and wait until the students are back. The same thing for the summer break. We have the North Florida Adoption Day, which is also, again, a large community event where we reduce the adoption fees and allow, you know, to find adopters and open the kennels to people to come and meet them on site. And that's also done because of, you know, students leaving for the holidays or the vacations.
Well, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back with more information on maybe some of the senior animals that you have and how people can volunteer and make donations. So
thank you.
We're going to be back, but let me give you the website address so you can find more information than you ever knew about the Humane Society of North Central Florida. Humane Society, ncfl.org. They're at 4205 Northwest 6th Street. That's here in Gainesville. And Francisca Raber is here, and there's a great staff there that can help you with any questions you might have. So we'll be back in just a few minutes and talk more about the Humane Society. Welcome back to Tell Me About It on WUFT 89.1 and 90.1. I'm Sue Wagner here today with the Director of Development for the Humane Society of North Central Florida. Her name is Francisca Raber, and she has been with the organization for a while and the Director of Development about a year and a half. And she's well-versed on everything that they need for this organization to thrive and, of course, for the pets to be adopted, fostered, spayed, and neutered. You know, it takes donations from the community to make sure everything happens. And tell us a little bit more about how people in the community can donate, whether it's financially or with other kind of food. Or now I found out you have a thrift shop, which brings in quite a good percentage of your income. So tell us a little bit more about these options.
I think good to know is always that we are a private organization, meaning that we do not get any government funding, or we are not getting support from the American Humane Society. So 60% of our donations come from private donors.
Nice. Yeah.
The rest comes through income generated through the spay and neuter program, the wellness clinic, and our thrift store, which is about 5 to 6% over the
and
year.
And where is the thrift store?
It's on the same property, actually, on the back. And we accept anything from a lot of people think it's just pet supplies. It's not. We have a great selection of books and clothes. Right now, Christmas is happening. Mm-hmm. A lot of Christmas items are coming in, but from decorations, from the odds. And we also accept furnitures. So we have had a little furniture corner that sees a lot of turnaround as well. So it is quite a thriving little thrift store in the back of our property. So that's a way to support us.
Right. And when is it open so people can?
It's Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 5:30.
Oh, nice.
Okay. And donations are open from 10 to 4, so we tried to close a little bit earlier so we can clean up.
Yeah, and, you know, students are in and out of this town, and this is probably a good opportunity for them to put their used items to a good use.
It is a great, and I know thrifting is very fashionable nowadays with
Evidently,
the younger crowd.
Yes.
We also have, if interested, we have their own social media through us. Just link like us on social media and follow along. We have some interesting sales sometimes come up, like bag sales and wild sales of 50% off the whole spec. So just check us out there. We promote
there,
that yeah. there. But yeah, that's one way to support us. The other way is volunteer. We love volunteers. We have about 650 active volunteers throughout the year that come. They make about, their hours add up to about 13 full-time equivalent.
And how do people volunteer?
They walk dogs. They take care of the cats, from scooping litter boxes to playing, socializing. We also had over the summer Persian Tales, where we had kids come in and read books to our cats. They loved that.
I have four cats. I've never read them a book.
Well, that's maybe.
You need to start doing that.
Yeah, they're very educated.
They're going to listen to this. They're going to go, what?
What? I'm missing out on all this fun. We have volunteers and interns that come and help us out in the vet area and the surgical area, but also the thrift store. We recently put in on our small little campus a 0.3-mile walking trail that was generously donated by a volunteer. Mm-hmm. And we invite companies to come out and do what we call pack walks. We also have doggy day outs options where you can take a dog out for a day and just new, and we're launching that really like next week, is PJ parties where you can come and take a dog for the weekend.
Nice.
So you're lonely or you're planning a beach trip and you think like, oh, I need somebody to come along with me. We have some dogs that would love to get out of the shelter. So our goal is really to have as much out of the kennel time as possible to create that well-being for the animals.
Well, you talked about these are volunteers that help. How do people become a volunteer? Is there a place to sign up?
Yes. Go to our website. There's a tab called Volunteer, and it has the whole process and what kind of options there are on there. So also to know is anybody can volunteer. That means children up to the age of 16 do need to be with a parent or a guardian, but otherwise they're all welcome to come. We have a lot of children that come and help us out with their moms and help, you know, socialize with the kittens and cats and play with them or help them walk dogs and stuff. So it can be a family affair.
And do you have community service hours for people that may need them, whether they're high school or otherwise?
Yes, you can have them as volunteers, but you can also accumulate them as foster as well. So anybody that fosters an animal also gets community hours.
People want to donate food. What is acceptable to you guys?
We almost accept anything and everything. We do not like it when it's too expired. But like if I just had this morning a gentleman call that unfortunately lost their dog, which is always extremely sad. And they said, well, the bag is just opened. We will accept open bags of dog food. They will go to our pet food pantry and on our use there.
That's great. So, you know, canned food is acceptable as well?
Canned food is acceptable as well. For the shelter, we also have wish lists on our website of things that we need. Like churro, If you have cats, you know churu. Those are like, they're little sticks of meaty treats that we use mainly in the clinic to convince them to take the yucky stuff or for socializing. So they're like treat sticks. So we use those. They're on our constant on our list. We have canned food for our kittens that we always need. Litter is always a big thing. We can't get enough litter. It seems like we're always dealing with litter emergencies. So, yeah, there's everything on there, regular pet supplies. Mm-hmm. Our community is amazing, I must say.
It's a very animal-friendly community.
Yes. Like this summer, we literally ran out of dog food. And out of nowhere, we were like, oh, my God, we didn't. And we put a plea out, and the trucks kept arriving until we're like, okay, thank you. We have no more place to store it.
To keep it, yeah. What a terrible problem to have.
It is. And we were lucky to share it, like, with Grace Marketplace and other organizations. So.
And you said you're pretty full most of the time. And we are open year-round, is that correct?
Exactly. So another important message that we always have to emphasize, we are not a public intake facility. So what does that mean is, like, you find a stray, you can't show up and just drop it off at our house, or our facility. That is where the Alachua County Animal Resources come in, or any other rural shelter comes in. They have the government responsibility to take in stray animals. We pull from their euthanasia lists. So they will contact us. Like right now, we're working very closely with an Alachua County Animal Resources. They are extremely at capacity. And we will go and pull animals from there and put them into our program.
And into foster homes, probably.
Into foster homes and all that. And as we have 3 full-time and 1 part-time veterinarian on staff, we can take in animals that may need a little bit more medical attention than in other shelters.
That's great. So the Humane Society is located at 4205 Northwest 6th Street. Now we found out it has a 0.3-mile walking trail. It's got a thrift store. It's got a room where you can get pet food supplies or any kind of things that you might need. Just in case you're in need, you are there to help serve them, too. And so then the pets get taken care of. And I have a few cats, I have to say, and they just bring me great joy. And I think pets make a really positive influence in your life. And the things that you're doing is making a positive influence in the community.
I think pets and animals are very uniting. It is very emotional. As I said, having that call of somebody losing their pet, talking to them, we don't just serve the animals. We also serve a community. We also serve people listening. It is sometimes really hard, but it's also very rewarding.
And the animals listen to you, which is great. I always like that part of it, too. Well, if you want to find out more about the Humane Society of North Central Florida, the web address is humanesocietyncfl.org, or you can call them at 352-373-5855. Franziska Raber, thank you for being here today, and we'll keep in touch with the Humane Society and check on you throughout the year.
I love it. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. That was Franziska Raber, Humane Society of North Central Florida Director of Development, on today's episode of Tell Me About It. To listen to previous episodes of the show, go online at WUFT.org/tellmeaboutit or on the WUFT media app. I'm Sue Wagner on Tell Me About It on WUFT.